Good morning.
Good morning.
I told him I really didn't need this microphone. My voice is loud enough anyway. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen?
Amen.
It's great to be with you this morning. I heard about a preacher recently said that, many times in the churches of Christ, we have gone to a real far extreme about the fact that, we know that history tells us that Jesus was not born on December 25th, and that, some have even said you shouldn't even refer to the day as Christmas, and we shouldn't sing hymns about Jesus' birth on that date and all. And he said that where he preached one Sunday, a couple came in, they had first time they're visiting, and they were there, and this preacher, he said at the time, he was of the persuasion that he should not mention the birth of Jesus or anything, because the evidence is clear that Jesus was not born on December 25th. And so he said nothing about Jesus' birth. And there were no songs sung that morning that had to do with the birth of Christ. And he said that couple on the way out of the building said to him, "Well, we stopped in here today because we know the world is celebrating the birth of Jesus. We wanted to hear something about Jesus," and nothing was said. And he said, needless to say, we never saw that couple again. While we do not, look at December 25th as the birthday of Christ, we as Christians definitely celebrate the birth of Christ. The Father in heaven had the angels go celebrate it, didn't he? I mean, the angels went and they sang that song that we all know from the scriptures to the shepherds, and the shepherds went in and celebrated the birth of Jesus. So we're thankful. We're ever thankful for his birth. Philippians 2 tells us that he did not count equality with the Father something to be held on to, grasped to, but emptied himself and became a servant, became a man, became a human being, even to the point of dying on a cross. Yes, I celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ. But much more than celebrating his birth, I celebrate his resurrection. Because his resurrection is the hope that I live with. And if you're a child of God this morning, it is the hope that you live with. Because we're told that because he was resurrected, we too can be resurrected with him. I take very, very serious what God says to me in his word. And I believe that you, as a child of God, also do the same thing. It's important that we take God serious. Do you agree with that? A lot of people have what I call cafeteria religion. They have their Bible and they go through, how you do in a cafeteria line. You go through the line, you have your tray, and you say, "Yeah, I'll have some of that. No, I don't want any of that. Yeah, I'll have a little of that. No, I don't want any of that." And they go through the Bible, and that's what they do with God's Word. They say, "Yeah, well, that's okay. I like that. No, I don't want any of that. It doesn't fit my lifestyle. Yeah, I want some of that." And so we've got a lot of cafeteria religious people in the world. May God help each of us this morning not to be cafeteria Christians, but instead to take very seriously what God says. You just heard the scripture reading a moment ago, and I asked my grandson to especially emphasize two statements in verse 8. How that God will send his angels back, and that when they come back, there will be punishment for those who do not know God, and those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that every person in this auditorium this morning, I would think, is here because they believe in God. They believe in Jesus as the Son of God. In Albania, I have a lot of students that I teach every day. And when they come to me, there is a request for them to put, they come to learn English, okay? And we use the Bible to teach English. And they know when they come that the Bible is going to be used for them to learn the English language. And they're requested to put down their religion. And so some come and put down that they're Muslim. Some come to put down that they're Orthodox or Catholic or Christian or atheist. And usually, about 90% or more of those that come as my students, they put down on there Muslim. I haven't got time to tell you the history of Albania, but if you knew the history, you'd know the reason why the majority of them put it down. And so I asked them, I saw that on your sheet you put down that you're Muslim. Why are you Muslim? I said, have you ever been to the mosque? No. Have you ever read the Quran? No. Well, why are you Muslim? Well, because my parents were Muslim. Did your parents ever go to the mosque? No. Have your parents ever read the Quran? No. Well, why were your parents Muslim? Because their parents were Muslim. Now, I think if I probably asked in this audience this morning, how many of you are Christians? The vast majority in here would probably say they're Christian. And if I asked you why you're Christian, I hope your answer wouldn't be because my parents are Christian. I hope that you study the Word of God and that you're a child of God because of what you have found the Word teaches. Because God is very serious in what He tells us. And He expects you and me to take Him seriously. That Christianity is serious can be seen by the fact you don't get much more serious than death on a cross. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Dying on a cross is serious. Very serious. It is important that we not minimize what are some of the most serious matters of life. I haven't got time to read now some of the things from Deuteronomy 28, but if you want to read some interesting statements, read what God says through Moses to His people in Deuteronomy chapter 28. For 14 verses, He tells God's people how He's going to bless them. And then from verse 15 on through verse 63, 64, He says, here's what's going to happen if you don't follow Me. Here's what's going to happen if you don't stay true to Me. God expects us to take it very seriously. You know, Jesus taught a lot of things while He was here on earth, didn't He? And a lot of people love to read, and I love to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. I've been there in Israel where they claim, anyway, that this is where Jesus preached that great sermon, 5, 6, and 7. And if it is like they say it is, it's on the side of a hill, and Jesus would have been speaking down below, and the people would have been looking out over the Sea of Galilee as Jesus said those words. And Jesus says some real amazing things. He says, if you can't keep your hand from causing you to sin, cut it off. If you can't keep your eyes from sinning, pluck out your eye. Some people say, oh, well, you know, Jesus was just using that as a symbol. He didn't really mean that. Is that right? I don't know. You have a right to what you think about that. I also have a right to what I think Jesus was serious. I think when Jesus said, hey, if your hand is going to cause you to sin and you're going to end up in eternity in hell, it's better to cut the hand off and go through your life without your hand and to spend eternity away from God. That's pretty serious. So if God expects us to take Him serious, what does that involve? What's involved in taking God serious? I would suggest to you, first of all, God expects us to look at Him as holy and that he expects to be. Because what is he? He says, be ye holy as I am holy, God says. He expects you and me to be holy. Because that's the direct statement. Somebody says, oh, well, what about Acts 2:38? Well, that's great. Acts 2:38 is important. But it's also important where we're told to be holy as he's holy. What exactly is involved in being holy? It means I respect the holiness of God. You know, when we follow God, or say we follow God, and we don't really do what he expects us to do, we're not considering him as holy. Numbers 20, probably all of you know what happened in Numbers 20. God tells Moses, okay, Moses, now before, you know, you struck the rock and water came out. This time I'm telling you to speak to the rock and I'll provide water for God's people, for my people. I want you to understand something. Moses was not mad at God. You understand that? Moses was mad at the people. And so in a moment, he takes his rod and he tells the people, what, have God and I got to bring you water? And he strikes the rock. Yeah, water came out. But God tells Moses, Moses, you did not treat me, listen, you did not treat me as holy before all the people, and you will not enter the promised land. Oh. You didn't treat me as holy before all the people. What is that telling you and me? You and I need to understand we need to be holy because God asked us to be holy as he's holy. And when everybody watches our life, we're supposed to be holy people. When we fail to believe, and I've just messed up, well, maybe not. When we fail to believe God's word and do exactly what he says, we really are saying we don't respect you, God. We don't consider you as holy. When we use God's name in vain, oh, how easy that becomes, doesn't it? Young people especially, I want to tell you something. I was 18 years old and I was working in a meatpacking house and I heard some of the most horrible languages I've ever used. God's name used all the time in vain. And one day I'm riding the elevator up because I was on the graveyard shift from 11 at night till 7 in the morning. And I was on the elevator going up and I found myself thinking a lot of those same words that I was hearing every day all the time. And brothers and sisters in Christ, too many times we listen to movies, we listen to things being said using God's name in vain, and we ignore it. And if we aren't careful, it'll become a part of our speech. And we don't honor God when that happens. Holiness means we respect the standards that God sets forth, as given like in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Holiness is not just trusting God. It's believing that whatever God has in mind for your life and your life and your life and your life and mine is going to have us have the best experience possible in life. Oh, I've doubted that many times when I've had tragedies happen in my life and gone through some very hard, difficult times. And I've even said, and I'm being honest, I've said, God, where are you? God, I've tried to serve you, and where are you now? I mean, I've tried to be faithful to you. And at that moment, I wasn't trusting the fact that whatever he has in mind for me is because it's for my best good. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Amen? We can say amen maybe now, but when it becomes difficult is when hard things are being gone through. That's when it's hard to say, oh yes, God, I trust you. I know you got my best interest in heart. I know that you want what is best for me, and therefore, I'm not going to doubt you. That's when it becomes difficult, doesn't it? Secondly, I would suggest to you that if you and I are going to take God serious, worship makes a difference with Him. Did you know that the book of Leviticus is mostly about worship? If you haven't read it lately, go back and read it again, because most of that book deals with worship. Throughout the scriptures, who we worship matters. Ask yourself this morning, what do you worship? Who do you worship? Might be your job. Might even be your family. Because you see, who or what we worship is what is most important to us as an individual. That's who we really worship. Whatever is the most important to us more than God. If we're going to take God serious, on Sundays, who and what are we going to worship? If I understand God's word, and I'm not saying I do, I'm just saying if I do, I believe I do, and if you think I'm wrong, I want you to come to me afterwards and tell me. But if I read God's word correctly, Jesus has made an appointment with every one of His children to meet around His table, to partake of that bread which represents His body, to partake of that fruit of the vine which represents His blood. He's made an appointment with us, and if we miss that appointment, we're saying it's not really that important. I don't believe that any of you would make an appointment with somebody that's important and then say, oh, well, I know I had an appointment, but I'm not worried about it. Somebody says, yeah, but where does it say I got to do it the first day of every week? Well, you know, Jesus said, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me, didn't he? And then didn't the Holy Spirit-directed apostles tell those in the first century to do it the first day of every week? So if I understand the scriptures, I have an appointment with my Lord Jesus every first day of every week to meet around that table to remember what He did for me. Because it's serious. And I'm not going to miss something that is serious. Wonderful, but serious. When Sunday comes, am I going to neglect the worship with Him? Because it really means that it's not that important to me. Throughout Scripture, how we worship really does matter. One last thing before I leave that point. If my relationship with you and your relationship with each other is not right, how can you worship? Didn't Jesus say if you come to the altar and you know you got a problem with your brother, you go and make it right with him and then come back and worship him, right? My daddy was a preacher. My daddy preached for this church for about 6 months. When he went there were two elders. And one elder sat on this side of the building and the other elder sat on this side of the building. And they had both publicly proclaimed that if one of them set foot on the other one's property, they'd shoot him. My daddy preached there for 6 months, and finally after 6 months, he stood up in the pulpit one Sunday and he said, this is my last Sunday here. I've tried for 6 months to convince these two brothers that are appointed elders of this church to get their relationship right with each other, and they won't do it, and therefore I can no longer preach for this church. And I remember, I was only about 10 years old, I remember my daddy getting up, my mother, my two sisters and my brother and I, we all got up and walked out with Daddy and got in the car and left. Because if our relationship is not right with each other, people, our worship to God means nothing. Jesus was very clear about that. Thirdly, I would suggest to you that if you're going to be serious about God, you got to understand that obedience is important to Him. whatever your reason or excuse, if you refuse to obey what God's word says, even the commandment about being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, then you don't take God serious. You think it's something you can just tack onto your life. You don't really take him serious. Some people might take issue with this statement that I just put up. But I really believe that Scripture is not to be debated or argued about. It's to be obeyed. Jesus didn't say, hey, here's what I'm telling you, what my Father said. Here's the things he said. And you can talk about it and debate about it and decide which things you'll do and not do. I don't know about you, but I think it's much more serious than that. I think God meant what he said. And Jesus meant what he said when he talks about the fact that we're to obey him. Obey him. And finally, that got some people's attention. Finally, if you take God serious, judgment is very serious. Judgment's coming, folks. Whether you want to believe it or not, God has blessed me with being able to preach for 59 years. And the older I get, the more I realize judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Jesus is coming back. Amen. Jesus is coming back. Amen. And if I really do believe that, then my life every day is going to show that, isn't it? Jesus said, how blessed are those that watch for him. Are you and I watching for me? Are we kind of have the attitude in our minds every day? Well, you know, he's coming back sometime. He's coming back sometime. And you've heard preachers say, well, you know, he could come back today. Do you know what? He could come back today. But whether he comes today or not, he is coming back. And judgment is serious. The final judgment means we're supposed to be preparing every single day that we live. God understands our weaknesses. I praise him for that because I know my weaknesses better than anybody does. And God understands our weaknesses. And his grace is so incredible. We sang about it this morning. Isn't his grace incredible? The grace of God. If it were not for the grace of God, I wouldn't have a chance of spending eternity with him. His grace, that word is so magnificent. His grace is the only thing that'll help me to be able to spend eternity with him. And that song that we sang, we'll shout with victory. There's a song, I can't remember all the words of it, but I remember the idea is that when I get to heaven, I don't care about the golden streets. I don't care about the pearly gates. I just want to see the face of my Jesus. Amen. Judgment is serious. He died so that you and I can live with him forever. That's what he wants. Is that bad? No, it's great. He died so we could live with him forever. And so the question is, are you taking him serious today? If you're taking him serious and your life is not right, you need to get it right. If you're going to take him serious and you've never obeyed the command to be buried with Christ in baptism, you need to make that decision. Not because I tell you to. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I don't matter. But his word matters. Are you taking God serious? You think about that while we stand and sing together.